Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
NordVPN.com/Fightful is great. How great? How about this? You're going to save money on it if you buy as many pay-per-views as I do. And I buy a lot, man. I'm not going to say what kind. That's for you to determine. But I got a great deal with NordVPN. Used it before they even worked with us. Got 70% off my deal. Got an additional month free, 30-day money-back guarantee. Works on all my devices. I have it on this computer. I have it on this phone. I have it on the router that's sitting right over there. The TV that's up against the wall. The laptop that's downstairs. It's on all those devices, and it works on all those. And I can do that and have online threat protection, avoiding pop-up ads, malware, all that stuff. Online trackers. But you can change your virtual location with just one click with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to services overseas or get those pay-per-views at the international rate. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful, here with a name you know. You might know him as Shane Thorne. You might know him as Slapjack, but we got Shane Haste here. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. How you doing? I'm happy to be here. It's great. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you got New Japan in LA coming up August 21st. Mm-hmm. A big tag match there. And I mean,
yes,
well known for your tag team wrestling. How has it been in New Japan for you so far?
It's been amazing. The change of from where I was before to the freedom and the style of competition in this is a lot. It's just so freeing and it makes me happy. Like when I wrestle now, I just want to wrestle to have fun. And like the fun that I'm having in New Japan is can't be topped.
So, I mean, what I get the feeling I'm going to know the answer to this because it's always Rocky Romero. But how did you end up in New Japan after leaving WWE?
Rocky was there. Jonah was there and they were doing, I've been living out in SoCal way for the last year or so, and New Japan Strong's been running out of here. So I would just go to the shows to support Jonah and meet the boys there. I've known Rocky for a long time. So, yeah. And then I think just the career that myself and Mikey had in Japan before going to WWE definitely was a foot in the door as well.
Now, did you have to face a lot of the issues that a lot of other wrestlers faced when they left WWE with, like, their visa issues and things like that? Or were you already pretty much firmly entrenched here?
Yeah, I had a green card that when I was in WWE during the pandemic, they helped a lot of us foreigners get our green cards and lawyers and all that stuff. So that was a fairly simple process. And there was, like, a group of 10 of us doing it at the same time. So we had a lot of support with each other of checking the boxes of what we needed to do and all that. So, yeah, that was I was very lucky. Like when the first budget cut started coming, I'm like, come on, I just got to just got to get that green card. So yeah, I got lucky.
Well, the pandemic was a really interesting time for you, because I remember when that first started, they were doing those PC shows. A lot of stuff was going around, and you and now Duke Hudson popped up on the main roster. Do you remember like what you were told about that, or what plans were set for that? Because I mean, you guys ended up getting a pretty prominent position on the show for a little while.
Yeah, I think like a lot of it was that a lot of the main talent and things like that couldn't travel, so they had to use who was in Orlando. And myself and Hudson weren't really doing anything set in stone on NXT. So that a lot of the people who weren't doing anything on NXT got used on main event. And then that's, you just get seen. You're in the right place at the right time. You get seen. And then they're like, all right, so we've seen that I'm able to work on main event. Let's bring them into Raw, because they still need the people for that too. So it was very much right place at the right time. And being an incredible wrestler.
I remember the booking was kind of weird, because like you all weren't featured on NXT TV a lot as a team, but then it's like, oh, well, you all popped up on Raw, and then you all appeared on on NXT once as a team.
Yeah.
Then they're like, no, back to Raw. And by the way, you're going to beat Cedric and Ricochet, who have been on, like, featured as well. It was confusing at the time for a viewer that is used to a lot of parody there.
Definitely. Like, and I think it was just people, they were just rolling with it, like, because everyone was getting tested all the time too. So people would pop with COVID and then you'd have to pull them off and this and that. So they were very much making it up as they went along and just trying to put a product out there. There were some times where I'd get a call in the morning saying, can you be here in a few hours to wrestle this person for main event? And it was like, yep, whatever. Like, you just, like, you get used to it, especially at the position I was in at NXT for the years before that, of just being a fill-in kind of guy. I was very used to it, and like I said, I'm a good wrestler, toot my own horn, so it's not too hard. And at that point as well, I was just trying to do me, so like I didn't have to put too much thought into what's this gonna do for my character, what's this gonna do for that. I'm like, I don't have any storylines, I don't have a character they've told me anything to do with, so I'm just doing whatever I want to do. And luckily it was a heel at the time, so I'm like, well, I'm not winning, so who cares? I'm just gonna go out there and put on a good show.
Were you surprised the one week when they're like, yeah, you all are going over Cedric and Ricochet, just like kind of out of the blue?
Yeah, like, all right, like, cool, sounds
why
good,
not but, right.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, we'll do it, man. Like, and we had fun working with those guys too. Like, it was a lot of back and forth and bouncing off ideas and trying to just do the best thing that we could at the time. We're all just trying to get noticed.
How was it for you reuniting with Mikey and Jonah earlier this year in New Japan? I mean, that has to feel good. It's familiar. It's established as well, because I mean, that's where a lot of your buzz had come from when you had popped up in NXT was TMDK.
Yeah, man. Like, and it was exciting, but it was like nerve-wracking too, because I know a lot of the Japanese fans see this, and it'd been a long time. Like, we were in, it'd been five or six years since Mike and I had worked together, and we hadn't had a chance to train together or anything, like, to kind of, so the first time we're like shooting off of that back elbow moonsault fist drop, I'm like, we'll see how this goes. Like, I hadn't done a standing moonsault in years either. I'm like, so like the expectations of what we were in our 20s to where we are in our 30s now, and 5 years or so of getting beaten down and getting changed to get that groove back. I'm still now trying to get my groove back to what I was when I was in Noah before. And it is hard, like, because I was in my 20s then, and now I'm in my 30s, and I'm like, maybe I just don't actually have that energy anymore. So like, maybe I, like, it's trying to find a balance of who I was to who I am now, and then not dying in the ring.
One thing I've always wondered about you and Mikey, because I'm fairly local to the Cincinnati area. I remember you guys worked a couple matches for ROH back in Cincinnati. It was the Rise and Prove tournament, And then you guys did a match against the Briscoes, I want to say, the next month. Were there any advanced talks about you guys coming into Ring of Honor? Because it seemed like that went really well.
Yeah, the only problem was that I didn't have a working visa. And that was just at their point. They weren't doing visas for people. So it was my fault. It was just me. They loved us, that we had the right, what they wanted. It was just, unfortunately, the timing of, couldn't get a green. They're like, if only you had a working visa or a green card. But we had Noah at the time too, so
yeah.
I wasn't too stressed about that. My main goal was working in Japan, and from there we went from doing the 3-month visas to the 6-month visas. So we were living in Japan 6 months on, come home for 2 weeks, renew our visas, and then go back to Japan.
So, like, how are you feeling about New Japan's approach to America? To me, it's can't miss TV. It is what I expected NXT to be. It is this great mix between established and young talent. Then occasionally you'll see like John Moxley just show up there.
Yeah.
Like it's this fantastic mix of a little bit of everything and a bunch of different styles. We've seen guys like Fred Rosser, who a lot of people thought they'd never see on TV again, and he is better than he's ever been by far.
That title match he had was like, we were there, and I was watching from the bleachers, and I was like, this is amazing. And every time like they get to a falsie or something, I'm like, they're not going to be able to top this. And each time they kept topping it, and the emotion in the room, and just like the fans too, like it doesn't. I don't know if it translates as well on TV. How awesome the New Japan Strong fans are, and how into it they are. Like there's a huge group of diehard fans who know every little bit of the storylines. Like when he won the title, man, that room, everyone on their feet. It was amazing to see.
He's an amazing storyteller, and I think you know a lot of people didn't get the opportunity to see that as Darren Young in WWE because of the role he was slotted in.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, we were in Chicago, and I was like, are you going to keep wrestling? Because like, we hadn't seen a lot of him on TV. And he's like, yeah, I am. And he's like, and I think I'll find the right place. New Japan Strong has seemed like the right place for an awful lot of people to sort of find themselves and tell their stories. And they were kind of forced into a brand split by the pandemic. But it's worked out fantastically. How has that been for you compared to... I mean, working in Japan in general, I mean, of course you worked so much Noah, like what are maybe some of the differences and similarities that you're facing, even though granted those were two way different companies.
In different companies. Yeah. It's just the different people that you're working as well. I'm working a lot more. And it's like you said, what NXT could have been of just bringing, you never know who's going to be on the show. When I see the cards getting announced on Twitter and Instagram and that, I'm like, damn, that's cool. Like, I'm like, are they going to be with us now permanently? But it's a lot of people coming and going. And when they're doing that, they're showing everything that they can show. Everyone's like getting the best out of everyone. So getting to work with people and then these storylines and working on the same shows and just getting the locker room vibe is so much fun. Like, everyone's cool. Everyone's there to support. And that's the thing of like independent wrestling fans at the moment now too. And the whole scene of it is so supportive. It's like, it's off-putting to me at sometimes. Like, I go to show and everyone backstage is like, no one's trying to bury each other. No one's trying to stab each other in the back to get ahead. Everyone's like, oh, that was awesome, man. That was great. And then the crowd's like, that was great. Everyone loved everything. I'm like, what is this? Where am I? Where's all the negativity? It's so much fun. It's just fun. And then that brings it out in the ring too, like having the freedom to go out there and try new things and be who I want to be is great, man. Like, it's so freeing. That's my favorite thing about it, man. The freedom.
Reminder, guys, LA, New Japan on August 21st. Are you hoping to go back to Japan? I mean, I think we've only seen you in New Japan, in Japan maybe once. I know you did Wrestle Kingdom.
We did a Wrestle Kingdom match and then a Korakuen a few days before that, but we didn't wrestle. We just kind of did a run in and smash some fools to set up for the match. But you know, if you've only done one, Wrestle Kingdom's not bad.
Yes. Yeah.
you know, started at the top. Now it's just all the way down. No.
Getting in there, having to dodge Azuka's iron fingers.
Yeah, man.
Every time you look over your shoulder.
we worked a program with them in NOAA as well, and that was great fun. And those fingers are no joke. You're like, whatever, they're going to be gimmicked. Wham! God damn it. Like, real fun stuff. But, yeah, hopefully back to Japan very soon.
Interesting.
A few things.
Obviously, you guys had a long history with Noah, and I don't know exactly how that ended. I don't know if there was any bad blood or anything like that.
No,
but
nothing at all. No, I'd love to go back. I still consider them friends and family to me. One day, it ended. Our contracts were running out. We had that chance to go be in America, so we went for it. You know what I mean? You just got to keep trying to improve and make more money. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
How
was that transition for you? I mean, going from where you grew up and where you spent so much of your life to Japan.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Then mm-hmm. to America, I mean, that's was there a constant culture shock for you, or was the transition pretty seamless?
Pretty seamless. I'm chill, man. Like, I'm cool. Sky's the sky wherever you go. Growing up as a kid, man, we moved a lot. I never lived until I was, I think, 16 or 17. I never lived in the same house for more than 2 years. So we moved, and we moved towns and cities all the time.
Yeah.
So then from there, like, I would do interstate trips in Australia. Then I would do, I was traveling to San Bernardino, to SoCal back in 2008. I'd just go every year. I'd come back and then we'd go to Cincinnati. And then that's where, and then Missouri. And then we went to Japan. And it was like, we went for like 3 months. So it is a little bit of a, it's not a culture shock. It's just a culture readjustment. I wasn't like, oh no, what am I doing? Just shut up, like, listen to what other people are telling me to do and do it. Kind of be aware of where you are and what other people are doing and kind of just fit in is the best you can. Like, it's like when you're first there, like, after a while we get comfortable and became a bit rowdy and whatnot. But again, you know, you learn the streets and what you can get away with and the fun you can have. But yeah, it's just, that was always me and Mikey's philosophy on wrestling. And wherever we'd go, we'd just shut up, see what was needed from us and do it. And do it to the best of our ability and just keep showing that work effort and compatibility. Yeah.
What were your feelings when he was like, don't know if I want to be in NXT anymore?
No, I was supportive of that. Like, his family stuff had been, like, he's had a family in Australia, man. Sure. He was a lot of the time he was miserable because he was away from them so much. And at the time, too, in NXT, like, we were just getting shit on. Like, we knew, like, every idea we just get was getting shut down, or we were getting yelled at for not having ideas, and then we'd have ideas and they wouldn't do them, and then they'd be like, where's your ideas? I'm like, said no to them. We had one day where we were working on a new entrance. They wanted a big, fancy new entrance for us, and they were mad at us for not having better ideas. And I'm like, I don't know what these lights do. I don't know. I'm not a sound engineer. I'm not a light engineer. You tell me what we can do. So I'm pretty sure I almost got fired that day. And we worked on this. I can't remember when or what the match was, but there's this one entrance we do, and we come from either side of the ring. The lights, my idea was like the lights will come with us and then in the middle, and then the logo will come there. That. The next week, no, the next taping, since this was in the block, we're loaded on either side of the ring, and I'm looking at Mike, and I'm waiting for the lighting cue that we'd put all this effort into doing to hit, and it just does our old entrance. And I look across the mic and I'm like, whatever. And then we just come out and do it anyway. But I'm just like, we got in so much trouble for not having bigger ideas. And then they forgot to use them the next time. I'm like, thanks, man. So he was pretty miserable at that point, and just he needed to change. He needed to go home, and it worked out really good for him if the pandemic didn't hit, because he went straight from there then to New Japan and went to the New Japan Cup, had like great matches there and was set to do more. Pandemic hits, and especially West Australia shut down hard. Like I've not been home since like 2019.
Oh wow.
I think that's the last time I've been home, and I was meant to go earlier this year, and then right as we were getting ready to go, they didn't reopen the borders. So, yeah, I've still not been home in that time.
Yeah, I remember all my friends from that area. They talked about how much they shut down. But, it mitigated an awful lot. It wasn't – they didn't get hit nearly as hard either, fortunately.
No. I know people whinging about it back home, and I'm like, where do you need to go? The fuck do you need to go, mate? Just shut up. Shut up. Stay home. Enjoy the time off.
So Triple H was running NXT back then. He's got the reins in WWE, and we've already seen categorical changes, like not as many rematches, the promos sound more natural, a lot of fresh and stuff. Do you think that will be a consistent, like, considerable change, or do you think eventually they'll kind of go back to what we know of Raw and SmackDown?
I don't know. We'll see. Like, I don't know if it's because Raw and SmackDown used to be different than when it started to get multiple. It's a burnout process, you know what I mean? Like, it depends how long they can keep it up for. Like, because then, like, who says in a year or two that we don't get sick of this formula? You know what I mean? Like, it's too much change. I can't keep up with it. Like, I don't know. People are fickle, as they say.
Sure.
So, who knows? It's good, though. Like, I hear good things. I don't watch it, but, like, I see things on the internet, and it looks like good. There's good buzz.
Yeah.
People getting jobs back is good. Like, you see so much negativity, but there's still people. Like, we're performers, we're people. We need a lot of these people have families to support, things like that. Like, so when you get to a certain age, you gotta make money to support your family, especially like, I know wrestlers now have much longer careers, which is fantastic. But then there's more younger wrestlers coming in too. There's just so much. So when the opportunity is there to make a lot of money that can set you up for the rest of your life, you have to take it. Like, people talk about like the slapjack thing and Retribution and how stupid it was. It's like, well, that made me a lot of fucking money. And that's like I can't, I'll never, if I could do it again, I'd do it again. Because it made me a lot of fucking money.
And I do want to talk about Slapjack. I thought that you could get it over as, I mean, I've seen you perform for a long time. I thought that you could do it as like an endearing thing. Like, it's such a ridiculous thing that this performer can make it work. But, but I mean, it seemed like, I mean, I can tell you, I was on the conference call when Vince McMahon was asked by an investor, where are your new stars? Where are the ratings? And then the next day I was told, we just had the craziest ass creative meeting. Then that started. At that point, had you heard anything about being involved in Retribution?
No, this is all new to me as well. Like, I didn't know that kind of thing. But like, we'd heard they needed to bring a bunch of people up to be I don't know, was this before they even did the attacking the PC and stuff?
It was like a few days before. It was like, I want to say three or four days before when I heard about the meeting. And the day before that was the conference call. But I know that there were people that I had talked to near Creative that hadn't heard really the scope of all of it until the day after that conference call.
No, we like when we saw that original, the first one, because I don't think anyone really knew about it. We were like, everyone was asking around, was who was that? Who was doing that? And no one knew, and it became very much a thing of, well, they're going to need people to do that. So a lot of us were like, pitching to be in it. Like, well, let's put us in it. Like, that's cool. Like, it's cool. Like, a lot of stuff, flipping cars, throwing Molotov cocktails and stuff. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, beating people up backstage, who wouldn't want to do that? Like,
my favorite was when they threw a cinder block through a window, and then they threw another cinder block through the window. It was already broken.
And it just slides along the ground. I'm like, I don't know, not to be mean of whoever they had. They had a bunch of big, strong wrestlers.
Yes.
Like, floating around. Like, I could have thrown a cinder block through a window. Like, I would have loved to have done that.
I remember the first day, and listen, I ain't making fun of the man's height, but they had this very short fellow, like, waddling towards the camera going, like, you better watch out.
A bunch of kids in their dad's clothes. Like, you know when you see that, like, kids wearing their dad's suit?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I thought that, you know, I was slowing it down. I was like, who do they have under there? Every time they did a backstage thing, we had people like analyzing it. And then I would hear later on, they're like, oh, they don't have any idea yet. They don't know.
No, they don't. So eventually, I think it was like Dijak pitched it a lot of like us joining and being it. And because we were all just told we're getting called up and then doing nothing. We were just doing nothing there. So I was like, yeah, well, this is a main focal thing. Let's get a part of it. And so when it was then a bunch of us up there, we were like, hell yeah. And we were like talking about the hoods and all this stuff. And we're like, cool, we're going to make it like this, maybe a cyberpunky kind of newer age kind of rebels kind of thing. So we're not like the Shield or anything like that. And we're like putting all these ideas together and then we get the masks and we're like, oh, this isn't what we thought at all. But you know, we got the masks, we put them on, we went and saw Vince and he loved them. He's like, I love them.
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, sir. I love it too. Like, yeah, whatever you say, man.
One of the things I love about Dijak, like that is the perfect like WWE name, all caps Dijak.
Jack,
And usually what they do is they'll take one of your names away. They added like four syllables to his name.
Well, that's like, the thing.
Dominik Dijakovic, and I'm like, he could have just been Dijak.
Jack, yeah, and that's that was another thing. Like we had Thorn, Dijak, and then. Dio Mace. Was the other one.
Yeah.
Mace. Yeah, so he was Dio at the time. So we had Dijak, Dio, and Thorn. DDT. Poison, that was a good thing. There, pitch that. You're Mace. You're T-Bar, and you're Slapjack.
Like, who tells you the names? Was it Vince?
No, it was Pritchard.
Okay.
Yeah, like, and it was like half an hour before we had to like go back out and get like we had to get in shit. They were like, whatever, man.
They did you ever play Streets of Rage when you were younger, like on Sega Genesis?
Yeah.
They sounded like names that the guys that you would fight on there would have.
Yeah, like it's a little slapjack. I'm like, I knew what a slapjack was, but I asked him, and he's like, it's a badass weapon. I'm like, it's not really that badass. It's pretty dated.
Stevie Ray had one in WCW.
Yeah, though. Yeah. I was like, and then we were like. We all kind of got like, I bought a slapjack and Mace got like a mace thing and Dijak bought like a crowbar. I'm like, yeah, what if we come out with these things? And they're like, nah. I'm like, okay.
And it was, the whole thing was based on the destruction.
Yeah. I think it just, as soon as like we moved to the Thunderdome and they started getting the big names back, Retribution just got pushed to the side, which makes sense. I'm like, whatever, man. Like, you got all your superstars back.
Yeah.
Cool.
Had you heard that Fox wasn't necessarily comfortable with this? Because that's something that I had heard pretty early on, that Fox was like, we don't know if we want this.
We hear rumors like that, but like, I'm like, that's above my pay grade, man. You know, if that's true or not, but I'm like, sounds right. And that's, I think, maybe why they shifted to more of a, less of a mob.
Yeah.
And it's also, we couldn't have extras because of COVID testing and whatnot. So we lost all our putty patrol, as we called them.
Yes.
So that didn't soldiers. Help. Yeah. So that didn't help. But then like, yeah, I think the shift from being like more realistic to being more monster-ish and fanciful. And I'm like, well, let's fully lean into that then. Like, let's go all the way with that. And then it just hovered and fizzled out.
And the thing was, there was incredible interest in Retribution. Like, one of the things that our site does, we pay a lot of attention to the YouTube views because it will show you what people are going out of their way to watch.
Yep.
And before even like everybody was kind of revealed, like the Braun Strowman thing did like 30 plus million. And then the debut on SmackDown, 4 million. Attacking Andrade and Zelina did good. And then like beating up Drew and Keith did great. Like every week it was unreal. And then when you all got in the ring, it was still doing good stuff.
Yeah,
like
good Hurt stuff,
Business
yeah.
was. And then Mustafa Ali being revealed was. So there was an incredible amount of interest in this. Why, like, I'm shocked that they would look at something that is an objective success from that metric and be like, let's de-emphasize it.
I don't know. Maybe they don't, like, I don't think Vince is on YouTube. I don't know if he's scrolling Twitter.
I like to imagine that Vince is like, I gotta watch Botchamania. I gotta watch the new one.
He's vanity searching every day.
He is. That's what he's doing. He's going to like Wrestle Talk and watching the British fellas talk in front of their green screen. That's what he's doing with his free time now.
Time right now. Like, what was the Peacock deal was like for what, 10 billion or a billion or something? I'm like, he don't give a shit.
No.
Like, what does he care like anymore? He don't care what you think. Which is pretty clear. He doesn't care what we think.
Yeah. Do you have
he's a good guy.
Do you have a favorite moment of Retribution? Like one that you look on fondly?
I think like just, I don't know how comically bad things would, like, we'd just keep pitching and then they'd come back with something completely from, they're like, yeah. And then, all right, here's something completely different. For me personally, I think I've told this story before about when where we would do our promos, our backstage things was the same area. And there'd always be one building security guard there, off to the side. That was his door. And I got there early to the area early one time, just to kind of lay out what I was going to do. And he like comes over to me. He's like, hey man, don't want to interrupt you, but like, I just wanted to tell you, man, this is so cool, man. I love Slapshot. And I'm like, actually the name's Slapjack. And he goes, and just goes back to his door and just stands there. Like we never like completely ignored him. I thought that was so good. I'm like, Slapshot would have made sense.
It would have. Like, it would have.
I'm like, yeah, that would have been cool.
So as we wrap up the Slapjack talk, I had heard last year that like you were constantly moved internally, like they had the internal rosters.
It'd be
Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown. What was going on there? Do you even remember?
Yeah, you'd hear one thing about me and Mia, we're gonna get separated. So when we did the breakup after we turned on Ali, Vince had a chat to us all on the way to Gorilla about putting the big boys together as a tag team, taking the masks off of me and Mia and us going back to ourselves and Mia going to the women's division. And that's a big revelation. Okay. And then we'd heard rumors of us going to SmackDown and then we were still on Raw for a while. And then it's nothing really happens until travel tells you what you're doing.
Yeah.
I swear, the WWE travel ladies, they're the shadow bookers because they know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones who know.
Like, I mean, that's how I've often, like, when Goldberg's coming back, it usually comes from the travel department, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they're like, this guy ain't usually here.
Oh, my dates have changed to a Friday. You know, like, am I on SmackDown now? And they're like, that's what I heard. Yeah. And then I'd go to, like, Don Cohn or whoever was in charge at that point. I'm like, am I? And they're like, maybe. And then they go to creative and ask them. I'm like, nobody, how does anybody know? Well, the reason they didn't know is because they weren't going to use me. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why no one knew.
So when the release call comes, how are you feeling at that point? Are you bummed out? Are you like kind of relieved? Are you like, let's get back to work? How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty relieved. Like, it's like, you think like, oh, it's coming. Like I thought it was coming for 3 years. I was on everybody's future endeavor wish list. Every single time there was releases, I'd like, you'd see, and people like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure Shane Thorne got released too.
Which I think is terrible. I think that's the most dog shit thing to do. Like, fantasy booking people losing their jobs is so stupid.
I know, it's so cool. Like, I did the same thing when I was younger, so whatever. What goes around comes around.
Oh, my God.
But I got the call, and it was Laurinaitis, and I have a pretty good relationship with him too. I think he's a big reason of why I was there longer than what I should have been. Like, I'm sure I was on the cutting block many a times. I just said, thanks for everything, guys. Like, and no bridges burned, nothing like that. I was looking forward to what came next. The world was starting to open back up again, man. And I was pretty miserable there. Just idea after idea getting shut down for no reason. The Australia gimmick that I had, I'm like, how does it translate to the ring? I'm like, who cares? I get in the ring and someone fucking hits their finish on me and pins me. Who cares? The look, it's marketable. And they're like, yeah, we need to tweak the colors. I'm like, all right, I'm never getting out of this. But I just tried to enjoy it. Like, while I was doing that, it was months. I just wanted to enjoy my time there. So I just hung out backstage and, like, we had rings backstage, so I just trained with anyone who wanted to warm up. I just trained with anyone backstage. I'd go see the writers, see how everyone was doing, just hang out and get talk to everyone, have a little bit of, enjoy some pie in catering. You know what I mean? Like, I tried not to stay there too long in catering, but because you kind of get stuck there. Once you get in there, you kind of get stuck there. So it's good to just be out in the ring, be seen, roll around. I remember Molly Holly telling me stories of that wonderful lady.
She's so great.
Of when she's so humble too. She's like saying, like, when she was in WCW, she would just before the shows wrestle herself in the ring until someone noticed and went, oh, she can bump and do moves and stuff. All right, well, let's put her out there. So I'm like, it's the best place. They got cameras on you. I don't like, they probably don't record everything that goes on pre-show, but there was some pretty funny moments. I remember me and Nikki Ash would wrestle all the time, and there's one part where she's like, shoot to the corner, up and over, and what I heard was low drop kick, but what she had said was poo drop kick. But I heard low drop kick. What I heard was two drop kicks, poo drop kick, but she'd said low drop kick. So I up and over, I swing a line, she hits the rope, I turn around, I feed my chest, and she goes drop kick straight to my groin. Hard drop kick, 2 feet right into the groin, and just drops me right in the center ring while everyone's kind of stretching and warming up. So a lot of good moments like that, me getting beat up or goofing around.
But I mean, now things are working out great. You got New Japan,
man.
As you mentioned, dude. August 21st. Big tag team match there. You're working with Christopher Daniels, man.
Yeah, man. Like, again, and then what even more I'm excited about is Tito coming back from his first tour in Japan. He's going to be brimming with confidence and, new ability. So I think it's going to be something of he's kind of like the sleeper guy. And I think this is definitely going to be, now that he's done his first tour, when he comes back to strong now, you're going to see a different, like, more confident, badass, bad dude Tito. So
it looks like it changes people.
I'm going to let him show what he's learned and the skills that he's got from over there. And then I'm going to punch you in the face. Little smug, beautiful haired, pretty boy.
Who are you? Who else are you looking to lock it up with in New Japan, whether it be Strong or over in Japan?
I like with Strong. It's definitely like the young boys that they have, the young talent. Like they're so, they just remind me of me. Like they're so innovative and hungry and skillful, and like it brings it out of you. Like when you're with people who have that ambition, I'm like, you get caught up in it. And all those boys have that, like Ren and Kev, Alex, to wrestle around with him. All those guys are really cool. And then I want to get in there with Okada, Tanahashi.
Oh, yeah.
And even like Kojima. I wrestled Kojima a few times back in Noah, and that was a lot of fun. So I'd like to get back in there with him. Who else we got? Kenta, I wouldn't mind having some more rematches with Kenta. I mean, against him or with him, you never know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. It's just so many new people that I've never worked with. And then I'm really jonesing to get back to Japan and wrestle in front of that crowd and that style again. I figure that's like, I feel like that's where I'll get my full mojo back.
You also worked PWG recently. Now, I mean, categorically different than what PWG was before when they were in a smaller venue. Definitely a more hot, I don't want to say physically hot venue.
Hot venue,
As opposed to the crowd. How was that for you?
It was fun to come back, man. And like, I'm the opener, man. I'm the opener. And so I get the crowd hot and fresh, and then I'm working with these, like I worked with Jack Cartwheel and then Titus Alexander. These Cartwheel had been there before and he had so many ideas, like, and I was like, yep, let's do them all, because like I'd been in like in WWE, like you can go all out sometimes, but a lot of times you're being very conservative because you don't have much time. So I was like, do it, let's do everything you got, man. Fucking let's do it all. Titus's first time, and like I'd watched beforehand, I did my research and I looked him up, and when I finally met him, he was just respectful, absolute great guy. And he was like, whatever you want. And I'm like, nah, man, this is your debut. I'm already here. Let's fucking show you off, man. Let's display you. And he was like, humble, great guy, easy, so easy to work with. And yeah, like the crowds are so cool there, man. They love it. Like they're just there for a good time. That's all I want to do. I'm fucking wrestling for a good time now.
So I hate to put this news out live on the air, but we're getting news of NXT UK cuts. Like as we are on the air, like Wild Boar, Flash Morgan Webster, I hear Mark Andrews.
So, oh, I mean, man,
you have a successful track record following WWE. What kind of advice would you provide these people that are maybe younger in their career and they don't know what to think or feel?
That's crazy, because I just heard, like, isn't they doing
NXT Europe.
Yeah. And then, like, so they've made it a bigger market,
global delocalization.
And then making it smaller, like, I don't know, like I honestly I don't follow too much of it. I know these guys and I know they're, like, especially Flash and Andrews, like, as you were saying their names then, I'm like, ooh, they're free.
I heard Flash signed a new deal, like, a few months ago.
Yeah.
I was just about to report it, like, this weekend that I heard he signed a new deal.
The contracts don't mean a lot. But I'm just like, you know, I hope there's so much work in the UK now again that they're just going to be able to be, like, you know, everyone loves a return. So they're going to get their return with, like, all the freedom in the world. Man, I'd love to work them again. I love Andrews and Flash, man.
Yeah.
They're so cool. They're such cool dudes. I guarantee once their downtime is done, you're going to see them even more. Because they weren't focused. NXT UK weren't really using them that much. They didn't spotlight a lot of people. they're going to get themselves back into the spotlight because they're too good to not. And they're such good people that people will want them on their show. So I think you'll see them back in America. Fuck yeah. Bring it on. Me and Mark Andrews. Come fight me. Come fight me in strong, man. Come on, let's do it. I'm sure if me and Mikey maybe worked. No, it wasn't against him and Flash. It was just him and someone else once. But I want TMDK versus Andrews and Flash.
So I would imagine you're looking to do more stuff with TMDK, obviously.
Definitely, man.
Like, throwing on the shirt. I mean, we talked about Mikey earlier, Bronson, or Jonah.
Yeah, man, it's just like it's a revamp of it, which is funny now because like people are like, oh, this new team. I'm like, no, man, we've been around since 2009. Like, it was the first time Mikey and I started that. And then there's so many of the boys who, while we were in WWE, they were holding the name down strong. Marcus Pitt and Damian Slater, TMDK Untouchables. Like, if you go YouTube that, man, you're going to see some fucking insane matches from Perth. These guys are so fucking good, and they've just been stuck in Perth because of the lockdowns. A lot of them have families now, and they have real-world responsibilities of mortgages and babies and things like that. But my goal now is to get TMDK. I just want all of us to have a taste of Japan. Yeah. I want those boys to be able to go do a Tokyo Dome show. Just do one tour. I'm sure the wives will let them.
Is a part of you just waiting for Triple H to make that call to Jonah? I mean, it's probably coming. Like, he was one of his dudes.
Yeah, yeah. If that happens, man, that's great for him. Because like I said, like, the money, and he never got a chance. Like, he did, or never got a chance on the main roster.
Yeah.
Motherfucker got plenty of chance.
I was shocked that they got looks at him and they didn't bring him up.
Yeah, he did great. All those times, too, he did great. And then nothing. So for him to get a proper chance on the main roster and then a proper go with that main roster money, because like him and his wife are lovely people and they deserve to have a good life.
Yeah.
Not to say that he's not going to have a good life in New Japan as well. I think he's killing it there and they're using him amazingly. So I think whatever happens in the future, whether it's that call from Hunter or not, we're going to have a real good time. I'm not expecting a call, so that's cool.
And feel free to tell me to go play in traffic, but like, are you signed? Are you a free agent technically? Like, how is
free agent?
Okay.
A free agent. Yeah. Free agent for now. Just doing show by show things. I'm only contracted to my fiance. That's it. And so, whatever happens, but like, that's the thing. Like, man, I don't want to. And it was a talk we'd had when we first joined NXT and WWE and bringing the TMDK name there, and we didn't want to do it. We did, like, we've got other guys in Japan, Hartley Jackson. We've got other guys all around Australia with Slex, and he's doing Noah stuff too. So that was the point of the TMDK name, was to kind of have that independence and to go forth and do what you can do. And so if WWE owned that, then I think it would ruin the legacy that we have with that. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. You have to be protective of it. I mean, I've heard that from an awful lot of people that they would rather protect something that is near and dear to their heart than have it portrayed in the way that they don't see fit.
Yeah. That's it, man.
Well, August 21st, New Japan, Los Angeles. Shane, I want to thank you so much. I've wanted to speak with you for a while, and I appreciate you being so generous with your time.
Definitely, man. And like, you know, T-Bars, new leader of Hit Row. What? I didn't say that.
Oh, no, that's the repackage.
Don't spread that onto the dirt sheets.
That's the headline. That's the headline now. Shane Haste, T-Bar will now lead Hit Row.
T-Bars, T-Bars.
Yes,
T-Bars. He drops the bars.
I love it. check him out.
New Japan Strong this weekend. TMDK rematching. Well, sort of rematching. Different lineup, but against Yuya. that scumbag, that scoundrel, that no good, scruffy, nerf hurting, some of a bitch, yeah, and that delightful man, Christopher Daniels.
He is wonderful. He's really great.
Yeah, I got nothing against him.
He's a great talent.
That son of a bitch, Yuya.
Guys, until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.